at smartphones for a second. What if your next main computer was actually a pair of glasses? Today, we're doing a deep dive into AR smart glasses. We're looking at why these huge tech companies are pouring billions into them. They really see them as, well, the next big computing platform, maybe even replacing your phone eventually. And we're focusing on augmented reality here, AR, which, you know, puts digital info onto your view of the real world, not virtual reality, which is like totally immersive. But the really interesting angle here isn't just the tech itself, is it? It's the strategy behind it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look at Meta. They put a massive, what, $3.5 billion stake into EssilorLuxottica, the company that owns Ray-Ban. That's not just about making cool glasses. Their goal, apparently, is to own the OS. Not Apple, not Android, Meta. So Ray-Ban's become this key battleground.
Exactly. And what's really compelling, I think, is how seamlessly these things promise to just weave into your everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
Think about real-time navigation, right? Directions just appearing subtly on your lens as you walk. Or like instant translation. Imagine talking to someone or reading a sign in another language and seeing the translation right there.
Yeah.
You wouldn't need to pull out your phone for directions or, you know, struggle with a menu in Paris.
Okay, yeah, that sounds amazing. But how do you actually control them if it's meant to be hands-free?
Right. Control is crucial for making it feel natural, not clunky. So beyond the obvious voice commands, hey, Meta, that sort of thing, we're seeing really advanced gesture recognition. But what's kind of surprising, and maybe a bit sci-fi still, are things like electromyography, EMG, wristbands. Meta's Project Orion prototypes use this. Basically, the wristband reads the tiny electrical signals in your wrist muscles.
So you can control the glasses with just tiny finger movements, even if your hand's in your pocket.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Tiny, subtle gestures. Your hands don't even need to be visible to a camera. And that's absolutely key, I think, for social acceptance. Nobody wants to be waving their hands around constantly.
Right, good point. So tying this all together, what's the big why here? Why is AR suddenly the next big push for these companies?
Well, connecting the dots, it signals a really profound shift. We're moving from computing based on screens, phones, laptops, towards what people are calling spatial computing. The idea is that digital information and interactions exist within your physical space, not confined to a rectangle. And the long-term vision, you hear this from Meta, from others, is that, yeah, these glasses could eventually replace the smartphone entirely. Mark Zuckerberg himself keeps hammering this point. AI plus AR, he says, that's the future.
Okay, but it can't all be smooth sailing, right? This sounds incredibly complex. What are the actual hurdles, the things holding this back right now?
Oh, definitely. There are significant technical challenges. First, miniaturization, making displays small enough, bright enough, high res enough, without making the glasses bulky or weird looking. That's hard. Then battery life. You need all day power in these tiny frames. And related to that, managing heat. These things are running computers right next to your temple. And cost is still a huge barrier. Meta's really advanced Orion prototype, estimated like $10,000. Even Owl Vision Pro is, what, $3,500?
Wow. Okay. So tech and cost. What else?
Beyond the tech, you've got massive hurdles with social acceptance and privacy. Huge ones. Remember the whole glass hole thing with Google Glass years ago? People felt uncomfortable. Having always on camera, potentially recording at eye level, that raises really serious privacy questions. And companies know they have to solve that. They're working hard on, you know, design, subtle indicator lights, different interaction models to try and make it feel less intrusive.
So when you look at all this, these AR smart glasses are clearly way more than just another gadget. It feels like a fundamental rethinking of how we interact with computers, with information, and a really fierce battle for who controls that next computing platform.
Absolutely. And that intense competition, that's actually what's driving the innovation so fast right now. It makes this whole space incredibly dynamic to watch.
So for you listening, maybe the takeaway is to think about this. What does it actually mean for your daily life when the digital world isn't separate anymore? When it's constantly seamlessly blended with what you see and hear, augmenting your reality? How could that change your sense of, well, presence, your interactions with people and places, even maybe your idea of what's real? Definitely something to mull over as we see how this all unfolds.